So if I ask this morning, what does that motto, holiness unto the Lord, mean to you? What do you think it means? Holiness unto the Lord. That is a question, so you can respond. All right, I'll give you a minute to think. Holiness unto the Lord. Anyone?
Exclusiveness with God.
Exclusiveness with God. Not inclusiveness, huh? Exclusiveness. Someone else?
Everything we do with God's favor in sight, pleasing the Lord.
So everything we do, we want to please the Lord. Someone else?
Nothing between my soul and the Savior.
Amen. I think sometimes we can have I'm glad no one responded in this way. Well, holiness is I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't wear this and I don't go there and it seems to be a list of prohibitions, things we don't do. But in the true sense, it's the idea of being set apart for God. It's being set apart unto God, holiness unto the Lord. Sometimes we view separation as maybe a negative thing. Well, I need to separate myself from the things of the world, the things that would defile me. But the separation is unto God. And so what I give up on one side, I gain far greater on the other side. And so let's just open our Bibles. There are a number of places that we could look at this morning, but I chose this passage in 1 Peter because it's called unto holiness. There's a call that comes out from God Himself. He calls us to be holy. And Peter writes about that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 13, it says, wherefore, now right away we have to stop. Wherefore? And we have to go back and just consider, now why is the wherefore there? What's the wherefore there for? Why is it there? What are we to consider? And he had just begun this letter speaking of the great salvation that has been purchased for us in Jesus Christ. God has provided for us all that we need. For life and godliness is a great salvation, and we have a great Savior. And because of that, now, what's the call? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. There's the call. That call was given at Mount Sinai. Back in the Old Testament, God spoke to His people then as He brought them out of the land of Egypt. Again, a great salvation had been brought out of bondage, out of slavery, brought through the Red Sea. And now He gives them His word, His law. Be ye holy. For I am holy. This thought of girding up the loins of your minds, I think it seems to indicate, well, maybe in the NIV, maybe a little better, we can put our minds around this. Prepare your minds for action. Now, again, that makes me stop a little bit. I have to prepare my mind for action. I think the idea there is that sometimes we think, well, if God wants to change me, He'll change me. Or if we've taken the doctrine of grace and we've made it, well, I have really nothing to do. If God wants to bless me, if God wants to make me holy, He'll make me holy. And we take a very passive approach to this Christian experience. But when it says prepare your mind for action, I think there's something that we need to do. We need to be renewed inwardly. Our minds need to be changed. The way we need to think about things needs to be different. We need God to transform us by the renewing of the mind. We need to realize that we're in a battle, that it might involve work. There was a quote, and it's not on this page, but there was a quote in Things New and Old, the latest issue, and I stole it, and I put it in here, so forgive me. But it has the idea of, it takes time to be holy, and it takes work, and it takes tears and sweat and travail and study and self-denial and diligent application, and all these things are now out of date. Did you get that? It takes time to be holy. It takes work. It takes tears. It takes sweat and travail and study and self-denial and diligent application, and all these things are now out of date. So this call to holiness requires a response on our part. That word sober means self-controlled. Are you self-controlled? Or are we controlled by our lusts? He talks about those things that controlled us before we knew the Lord. And he says you did those things in ignorance because you didn't know any better. But now you've come to know God. You've experienced this great salvation, and so you have to turn your back on those things. And then he reminds us of the goal. Set your eyes on the goal, the hope that's set before us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we don't live just for this life. We live in light of eternity. And we stand one day before our God and our great Savior. And we want to hear from His lips, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Should that affect the way I live? We've been kind of brought up in our society to live for the moment. We live for now. We please ourselves now. We want the things that gratify us now. And we want it now. And we don't want to wait. But if we would see that there is an eternity in view, there is a place that God has prepared for us. Set your hope on that salvation, which will be revealed at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we shall be with Him. One day we shall be like Him forever. Hallelujah. And so the call to holiness is a call that comes from the very heart of God Himself. There's no other way for you to come close to God unless you come and allow Him to make you holy as He is holy. Now, it's true that in the natural, naturally, we're not able to make ourselves holy. It's a work that the Holy Spirit does. One of the things I've heard here at camp and in our church and back home is that the Holy Spirit is given to make us holy. Sometimes we think of power, right? The Holy Spirit, and that's true, right? It says this power will come upon you. But there's a power to live a holy life. There's a power to be, as Brother Paul said, pleasing to Jesus in everything. Is that possible? Can I please the Lord in everything I do? In every thought I think, in every word I say, in every place I go, can I be pleasing to the Lord? Yes. The Holy Spirit is given to make you, to make me holy. And then he talks about obedient children. Do you like that? I'm a child of God, yes. And I need to be an obedient child of God. He uses that word conform. I'm reminded when I hear conform, I'm reminded of another verse in Romans, right? Romans 12:1, what does that say? Be not conformed. conform to this world, right? I think the world would like to put us into their mold, you know, and kind of, this is the way you need to be. This is what it means to be successful. This is what it means to have fun. This is what it means to live it up and to live life. This is the way it needs to be. And we're pressed from all sides. Especially, I think, our young people. You're pressed by your peers at school, maybe, to be like them or like someone who sings very well. I don't know the names anymore. Not that I ever did, but maybe you know. But we're pressured to conform. But that verse goes on to say, no, be transformed. Be transformed. Let God change you from the inside out. That's another thought about holiness. It's something that is done by God inwardly. And, you know, when I talked about the list of things we're not supposed to do, those are outward things. And please, I am not saying that those things don't matter. They do. Because if there's an inward change, it shows outwardly. Do you understand that? There is proof. Jesus himself said, by their fruits you will know them. Oh, we can't go around saying, well, I'm holy on the inside. Well, maybe it's good if we could see it on the outside, right? The world should be able to see, others should be able to see that you are walking with God and that your heart is His entirely. There's this inward work of grace that God does that manifests itself in the way we live. The King James says conversation, right? We read that. And in the NIV it says, be holy in all you do. It's not just the words we say, it's the life that we live. And as I said, it affects the way we speak. It affects the way we interact with one another. It affects the way we dress. It affects the places we go. It affects the things we allow our eyes to see. I mean, so much is accessible to us. You know, we carry around so many things on that little phone. Right, Brother Steve? Brother Steve's got his phone there, right? There's so many things right at your fingertip, right? Right? A story I've heard it over the years, and again, it might not get it exactly right, but there was a brother, I guess I heard it this way, a brother in the Ridgewood Church who went to the... went to the electronics store, this is years ago, and the man was trying to sell him a television set. And he was telling him, all you can have, you know, this is the latest technology, and you can have the whole world right in your living room. And the brother said, no thank you, that's what I don't want. And he walked right out of the store. Well, we can have it right there, right? And even here at Pilgrim Camp. Right? We've tried to keep ourselves somewhat separate here at camp. But, beloved, it can't be legislated, as it were. It can't be, it's something that has to come from your heart. We can be encouraged in a place like this to separate ourselves, but it has to be a change that God works inside. Now, if we just would consider, just real briefly, the holiness of God. He says, be holy as I am holy, right? That's what he says, be holy for I am holy. So when it talks about the holiness of God, the idea again is that separate separation, but that the difference, there's a vast difference between God and sinful man. There's this otherness about God. He's not like us. He's holy. But he asks us to be like him. He says, be holy as I am holy. And so there has to come a change in our lives that we are changed to be like him. And so the thought of Christ-likeness is, again, another thing that we've heard often to be like Jesus? Are we allowing God to change us into the likeness of His Son? Someone has said that God's eternal purpose is that heaven will one day be filled with people who are just like Jesus Christ. He's working at that, beloved, to make you and to make me just like His Son. Be holy. Be different. Are you willing to be different? Is it okay to be different? We like to fit in. We don't want people to, you know, think we're odd or strange, or and so we maybe choose not to be holy as He is holy. But the call comes from God Himself. There's this complete separation from sin. The thought of sanctification is linked with holiness. And in the Old Testament, everything that was used in the tabernacle was sanctified. It was set apart. Again, set apart for God to use. Set apart for godly service. Sacred use. And so we too are called to be set apart. Not just separate from the world, but set apart for a purpose. To be filled with God, to be used by God, to be holiness unto the Lord. And the Old Testament makes it very clear that even the common things, I think it says the bells on the horses would have that engraved, holiness unto the Lord. The very common things, the things used for work, were set apart for God. And so we too can be set apart. Whether we go to work or whether we're in school or wherever we are, we can be set apart unto God. It's not just something here for camp. Thank God for this motto, holiness unto the Lord. And then just that last verse, I didn't read all the way through there, but he talks about love. Do you think there's, in the holiness of God, there's this aspect of love? He says, since you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, then with a pure heart we want to love one another fervently. Fervently. I think part of that holiness of God is, yes, the judgment of God, the righteousness of God is certainly there. But there also is this great love of God. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so we want to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Lord, put that holy love within my heart. Oh God, you must do it for us. You must do it for us. And then one more verse. Strangers and pilgrims. You like that? Dearly beloved, as strangers and pilgrims, that's a good verse for camp. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Yes, prepare your mind for action. Why? Because it's a battle. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take study to be holy, to be all that God has called us to be as His people. And so I just wanted to share that this morning as we begin now again this fourth period of Pilgrim Camp 2016. Just remind us of a wonderful call that God has over each of our lives. Our sister Marie reminded us of the word that was given at the beginning of the camp. The need to keep this place holiness unto the Lord. At the bottom of your paper it says there, one time in a camp meeting, Brother Hans began a sort of groaning which naturally puzzled people. Only later he told Brother Gardner that the Lord had given him a sight or vision of what Pilgrim Camp could become if the flesh were allowed to reign, and unless they kept it holiness unto the Lord. Brother Waldfogel spoke firmly to the Gardners about this being an important part of directing the camp, and they took it very seriously. Thank God. Again, celebrating 70 years because people were willing to pay the price, to respond to the call of God and to take a stand. And so I'm thankful for this call. I'm thankful for the standards that we have here at the camp. We might not always understand or fully understand some of the rules that we have, but it springs from this desire to please the Lord in everything and to be holiness unto the Lord. And so if we'll just have an open heart and say, God, I want to please you. I want to please you in my thoughts. I want to please you in my attitudes. I want to please you in my words. I want to please you in the things I do, the things I look at, the places I go. Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. Called unto holiness. And so may it be more to us than the motto that's hung over the fireplace. It's a call that has to enter each one of our hearts. Yes, Lord, I want to be holy as you are holy. I want to be pure as you are pure. I want to be filled with love, your love. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord Jesus. I want to be like you.
Brother?
Yes.
Give me 2 minutes. I won't even stand up and enough to be short. I had a real struggle with this when I was 14 and 15 years old. I was a sophomore in high school, and Brother Johnson, the pastor of our church, said, Marie, come and join us on the Saturday night street meeting on the main corner of the city of Waukegan. And I said, okay. And I didn't think much of it. But I thought, well, nobody will know at school that I'm standing here giving a testimony for Jesus. Lo and behold, 3 of my friends that always walked together, I walked alone in high school. But these were 3 neighbor kids, a boy and 2 girls. And just as Brother Johnson said, now Marie, you get up and give your testimony, my 3 friends walked by. I had a prideful heart, and the devil said to me, they'll never look at you again, or they're going to go home and laugh their eyes out at you. But the devil's a liar. I just wanted to tell the young people especially, the devil is a liar and the father of liars. The very next day, lo and behold, we had to pass from the new building to the old building. For classes, there was a big old building on Glenrock Avenue, and there was a brand new building on Washington Street. And as we were passing, there were the 3 friends approaching me, and they stopped. And they said, Marie, we wanted to tell you, we were so proud of you last night when we saw you talking for God. Point. The devil's a liar.
Amen.
He's going to tell you, don't let anybody know who you are, because you're going to be the laughingstock. I appreciated that so much all my rest of my high school days, because I thought, devil, you're a liar. Whenever I have an opportunity, I want to shine for you. Even if the whole world laughs at me, so what? I need the pride knocked out of me.
Amen.
But, you know, I was so, that, you know, that kind of settled it for me. You may not get praised, you may get laughed at, but I was so appreciative to God because I was brand new in this thing. And we were so proud of you to see you standing there and talking for God. Remember, the enemy is a liar. God, let God be true. And every man
alive. Amen.
Period.
Amen. Thank you. Just in closing this morning, I have a song for us to sing. Begins on the front, and the chorus is on the back, so you'll have to flip it over. I did it this way so you could just stick it in your Bible or in that little workbook that you have. Does anyone know this? Then we'll all learn it together. Good. Let's stand as we sing.
Desire, Lord Jesus, that from the inside out, Lord God,
yes,
that
Lord.
We should live our inside out, strengthened by your Spirit,
yes,
Lord God,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Reflecting your glory, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Jesus,
Father,
Jesus.
Thank you for the power of your Spirit that frees us from lesser things, Lord God.
Yes.
Things that would attract, but things that would disappoint, leave us empty, Lord God, but you are faithful, Lord Jesus, and you satisfy our hearts, and we long for this, Lord God. Teach us, Lord Jesus, day by day, Father, to draw closer to you, to hunger for you more, Lord Jesus, and to shine for you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord bless you.